Okay. Yeah, so like I said, this is week, we're going to do one more week of Oroz HaTshuva. Next week, we're going to do something unique on Purim. And then after that, we're going to start to get to Rav Kook on a few other Inyanim. Rav Kook on Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook on Am Yisrael, maybe Rav Kook on...
Now we're talking.
I think I mentioned you last week. I said the Dineis would be here to know, be happy to know that that's where...
You recording?
Yeah, we're recording. Fine. So, I sent you in the WhatsApp. You're in the WhatsApp. On the WhatsApp. Okay, so Liz, you'll give me a.
What's on the WhatsApp?
All I do is I send a weekly announcement saying it's happening, and then afterwards I send the shir saying just send a recording of the shir.
Sometimes it's a little. Tonight we'll be doing. Here's a trail, and then you'll post.
But I don't usually give a tickler.
Well, I mean,
and I mean
so in the nicest way. You tickle Monica, and then Monica will
do it. Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to pause that and just rewind and erase. The rabbi's tickling. Okay. All right, here we go. So we're on, I don't know what page it is in here, but it's on the bottom it says 39 and 40. So it's Perek Dalad. We're going to do pieces of Dalad and Hay.
Wait.
No. Meaning?
Turn over.
Okay.
Keep going.
Second
to last page. There you go. Thank you, David.
Got it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Bottom piece on the right page. Dalad. Says Rav Kook, Hateva Haolami, the nature of the world's nature, all of the nature that exists, V'cho Yetzira Prati, and each individual creature in the world, Ha'historia, we're going to talk about that word in a moment, and that word a little bit later in a moment, but history, Ha'enoshit, personal history, meaning of each individual human being, V'cho Ha'ish Yechidi U'Ma'asav, and not just history of people, but each individual person and his own actions, all of those things, Srichim Lihiyot, Misukarim biskira achat. They need to be reviewed or taken in biskira achat in one shot, in one glance, in one review. History, each individual creature, the nature of the world, every person and his or her actions need to be viewed in one glance, as one. Ke, like, tochen echad baal prakim shanim, as one tochen, as one unit. Baal prakim shonim, but having many different parts, many different compartments. So what Rav Kook is saying here is that everything that exists, maybe the development of everything, needs to be seen as one. Let's look at the commentary here. This is on the left side, right under Haskirah HaKlalit. Starting with the non-bold. Ha'iruim ha'prat... Skira is like a glance or a view, a review. In modern Hebrew, it means to review. Like if you're reviewing something, it's a skira, it's a review. But I think Rav Kook means like in one shot glance, kind of. So it says Rav Kook. It says the commentary here: Ha'iruim ha'prateim shel yitzrim ubnei adam, the happenings, the events, the specific events of all creations and all of humankind. And the trajectory, the general trajectory of all of nature and history, the prat, micro, ubichlal, macro, keechad, micro, macro. That this all needs to be trichim lehishtalev, it needs to be integrated, to be intertwined. Bimabat, in one, mabit is to view. So with one view, kolel, including hamavchin b'chukiyot yesod hanikarot befrat, micro, meaning being able to view all the individual rules, fundamental, recognizable things in existence, the micro of the world, so to speak, uvachlal, and the general picture, the macro of the world at once. In other words, what Rav Kook is saying is that a person ideally should be looking at all that exists as one picture. It's not multiple trees in a forest, it's the forest. It's not multiple colors and designs, it's the entire picture. We're going to talk about what that viewpoint gives us, but certainly that's the viewpoint Rav Kook is saying should have. Hishtalev, the commentator uses the word hishtalev to integrate. It doesn't exist anymore, but the Hezer Yeshiva of today, so they started to do something called Shiluv. Shiluv Yeshiva, you heard about this? Malei Goboa, you heard of Yeshiva Malei Goboa? So really it's a Shiluv Yeshiva. Shiluv is different than Hezder in that the full army service that someone's supposed to serve is 3 years. And if you go to Hezder, you serve about a year and a half, maybe two years, but you don't serve the full service. And it's okay because you're doing Hezder, so it's like a 4-year program, 5-year program. Shiluv said, okay, you're going to do a year of yeshiva, 3 years of army service, and then a year of yeshiva. So it's kind of like Hezder, but like with the full army service. With Shiluv Yeshiva felt, it didn't catch on at all, which is why there's only one, and it's, you know, not the most popular of the Hezder-type yeshivas. Because integration is difficult, right? They really wanted to fully integrate army and Hezder, which it's hard to really do both. And I just meant that to highlight the word Shiluv. Shiluv is a complete integration of parts. And so what Rav Kook is saying is that we need to integrate all these things into one whole. I want to look at the word historia. Anyone knows Hebrew in the text of Rav Kook, historia, why is it spelled wrong? I know. Historia, how should historia supposed to be spelled? If you spell a Hebrew word with a tet, right? If you spell an English word in Hebrew, so there's rules. I don't know all of them, but I know that a tet, whenever it's a tuh sound, it has to be a tet. It can never be a taf. If you're spelling an English word in Hebrew, okay, that's a rule. Says the Hebrew people. So Rav Kook's son used to say that Rav Kook would spell historia differently. He didn't want to spell it with a tet. Why? Because what?
It has almost the word Torah.
You're getting there. Hester Ka. The hiddenness of Ka, Hashem. Hester is Hey Samech Tafresh. It has to be the hiddenness of God. So Rav Kook refused to spell Hester with a tet. Because it's, what is history? History is God hidden throughout time. Our job is to reveal God throughout time, and that's us seeing God in history. But certainly history is, and we're getting up to Purim, so this is definitely in the theme, history is God's hidden story, the story of God, which is kind of in the background, which doesn't obviously, you know, play out. We have to look to see it, but that's God's story. As Rabbi Aaron always puts it, it's his story. Right? His story.
Wouldn't that be more reason to spell it that particular way?
What do you mean?
With the tough.
He does.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, I was saying that, like,
the way they spell it in regular Hebrew is the other way.
Is the other way, right. Exactly, yeah. He spells it to be Hester Ka, the hiddenness of God. And if it's with a tet, it wouldn't be the word Hester.
Okay.
Got it. So again, that's, you know, and that's history for Rav Kook, and that's certainly part of the whole. What does this get us? So if we look at everything as one shiluv, as what does it bring? So says Rav Kook in the last word of the second to last line, va'az, what happens? Mimaheret ha'ora shel hadea. The light of awareness, there's this awareness that takes place, which is a tremendous light. Hamevia lidei tshuva lavo. This awareness which brings tshuva lavo will come quickly. In other words, what is looking at things as a whole bring? It brings tshuva quicker. If tshuva is a process that's happening on its own, if tshuva is something that is the natural course of the world returning to Hashem, so the process can be slow or quick. We could have bumps in the road, or we could have the traffic smooth sailing. So, Sister of Cook, if you want to speed up the process, look at everything as one integrated whole. So, you have to figure out what's the connection here. Why does looking at things as one integrated whole mean that tshuva, maybe as, you know, in my individual tshuva, or the tshuva of society, or of the world as a whole, why does that come quicker? Any thoughts before we... I'll take a stab at it. The commentary, I'll take a stab at it, but... It's an interesting connection.
I guess if you break things down into various pieces, our lives are complicated and hard to manage. But I guess if you look at all of life as a big picture, you have It's more and more inspiring.
Right.
The details drop. The magic sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the thoughts that I had, exactly, which is that if we look at the details of our lives, it can bog us down to a point of not being able to progress, to improve, to reach the heights that we're capable of, because this is happening, and that's happening, and that's happening, and look at, but if we, you know, branch out and look at the bigger picture, seeing everything as one integrated whole, so in theory, that's more inspiring, it's more uplifting, it's more motivating, and then we don't get bogged down in the details, right? Think about any part of our life. You know, I'm still a young parent, but the details of parenting can be very annoying, but the bigger picture is beautiful, and if you get bogged down with the details, it can be a negative experience, but in theory, it's more positive, and you see the bigger picture of what you're doing. So too, I feel in education, so too, in terms of a relationship with a spouse, in terms of a friendship, right, the bigger picture is always a more beautiful thing than the individual parts. And so Cook says, take that, but span it out to all of history and all of existence. We will want to improve a lot quicker. We will move ourselves and our community and the people around us closer and closer to God when we don't get bogged down by the details. So I think that's definitely one thought. Another thing would be, and this maybe is tied to that, but maybe a bit different, that sometimes we have a hard time getting past moments of negativity, moments of pain. And if it's just about that one moment, so then it can be very hard to move past, because this is all my life is, or this is all this relationship is, or this is all this, you know, progression in school or in work is. It's just this one challenging moment. But if you could branch out and look at the whole thing, then zegam yavor, this will also pass. You'll get to a place beyond this. You know, you existed before that moment, and you'll exist after it. So you could branch out and almost get through it. Maybe not always quicker, although maybe quicker, but certainly, certainly with a different kind of a perspective. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right, exactly.
By gaining perspective on things, it's easier to see bigger picture, see bigger
opportunities. Right. Right. The commentary here has a different kind of a take on what this connection is, and I want to share with you now. This is the bottom paragraph on the left side. It starts with Azma Maharet, and we'll start with the non-bold. Hamabata kolel, this general outlook. Gorem l'ri'at hahit pat chut, it causes the viewing of the development, hit pat chut is development, vahit kadmut, and the progression, shechala kol azma b'mitziyut. You see the constant movement of the entire world. Looking at history in one slice, oi. Looking at history as a whole, you could see that things progressed and moved. I mean, history that repeats itself, but certainly there is a cycle, or there is a progression or a movement to the world or to our lives, and you only see that if you have this kind of perspective. Says this commentary, Misha Misagel, that's Mo Etem Abata Kolel, one who, this doesn't mean skula in the sense of skula, like one who can get himself to have that general perspective, Haroe Migamat Hit. Hitalut bilti poseka, to have this vision that's kind of without any breaks, I guess. Lo yachol shelo lirtzot lihishtalev. There's no chance that he doesn't want to jump in to integrate b'mahalach zeh with this movement. Letakein, I don't know what that is, bamo. I don't know. Bimo yadav et mash efsha letakein. He's going to want to jump in, and he's going to want to take his hands, and he's going to want to work, and he's going to want to develop, and he's going to want to progress and get involved. Meaning, if a person realizes what's going on in the world, how could you sit by as a spectator? Rabbi Aaron always says, do you want to be a spectator, or do you want to be in the front row seats, or do you want to be on the field itself, right? A person who realizes the grand scale and movement of all of history and of our lives moving back to Hashem, so then you're going to be like, well, this is amazing, this is unbelievable, look at what's going on, I want to jump in and be a part of this. So I want to be a part of this in the sense of, you know, you want to get involved in some sort of cause, great. You want to be a part of, you know, Israel advocacy, great. You want to be in part of your own, changing your own life and your own personal, you know, things that would be your development, great. But either way, you're going to be motivated to want to get on board with what's going on. So it's almost like you're going to have the jitters to such a degree that you can't hold yourself back. And that's what it means to have this kind of a viewpoint. To view everything as one, again, one, maybe you just don't get bogged by the details, you see the whole picture, and then you're more inspired to grow. Two, you can get, maybe I was thinking you can get past difficult moments because you see the bigger picture. And three, and this is brought out from this commentary, that you're going to want to jump in. You're going to want to be a part of that and get on the tshuva train, so to speak. And that's going to be an intense motivation. There's a lot to be said for this perspective.
As a community, we're deep diving in other Jewish, we watch other Jewish people, denominations are not diving as deep. I mean, I guess there are more communities that dive deep, right? I don't know, but I'm just saying. So, in regards to our affiliation, our involvement.
Yes, yes, yeah, right.
It's folks.
Right.
That's like a Jewish thing.
And that's a choice.
Right.
So, I guess that's kind of choices that we're making. So he's just saying, just take that to the next level.
Right, bring it, you know, if you're at 50%, get 100%. And I guess, you know, we don't think about it like this, but, and we'll just get your comment in a moment, we don't think about it like this, but maybe as Orthodox Jews, part of why we're Orthodox is because we think there's something big going on here. Like, this isn't just me and my life and my family and my this society. Right, this is something bigger, deeper going on. I want to be a part of this. We don't need to be a part of it. So we say, okay, God. God gives us mitzvot. God commands a certain life. That's a meaningful life. Okay, let's live that. Okay, Israel. You know, whatever it is. But, like, we get involved in that kind of a way because we think that there's something deeper in life. And it's not just chitzoni. Tamar chitzoni. Hey, you want to...
No, I don't want to chime in.
But he's always taken the holistic approach about anything. I mean, when you talk about being a complete Jew, a number of weeks ago we talked about it just isn't just also tefillot and mitzvot, it's also working the land and being, you know, and fulfilling commandments between man and man as well as man and God, and you can't just, as you said, you can't just delve into the details and be bogged down in the
right
details.
Right,
you have to look at what you're doing in
right
the greater good.
Right, certainly there's a big picture perspective on just, I mean, it's a little picture, but it's a big picture perspective on mitzvos, right? Like Rav Weinberger, well, I'll read a piece from him in a sec, but he always talks about how, like, you know, you think that, oh, I'm, you know, Ben Adam, human beings are, the world was created for them. It's true. Like, we're the point, you know, the climax of creation. So let's say I'm done with my wrapper, so I can throw it on the ground, right? Because, like, it's all about me. He would say, yeah, but, like, you're just looking at it like that. Look at the bigger picture. Like, there's you, then there's the world, and then if your religiosity, like, stamps on somebody else, there's other people, right? In other words, a big picture view of mitzvos is the same kind of thing. Like, there's something much bigger going on here. It's not just you, little you. There's you, and then there's people
only
around
you. Only if you have Hashem or a bigger power in the picture. Because, you know, there's this TV show that was on a couple of years ago that they monitor everybody. I can't think of the name. It was a crazy show where they were monitoring everybody in the future, and everybody had, like, a number, and everybody could be seen from some big machine. It was kind of like God.
Oh, wow.
And really, like, they zero in from the big world and come down to each individual, and those individuals all were made feeling like, I don't really matter. Like, I really am just this little nothing. I'm like a little digit in the big picture. And it wasn't like I therefore coalesce into other directional people, because there's no God. When there's a God imperative, yes.
Right.
You do create Kiyula.
Right.
But there are a lot of people for whom this whole thing would be like, okay, I'm just in this big existential
hole.
I'm
they
just
can
a little nothing.
Right.
I'm
right.
not part of
right.
a bigger thing.
Right.
I'm really just
right.
thinking, what do I amount to?
Right, right,
what,
right.
I am actually just this individual digit, and it means nothing.
Right.
And I can see it all out there, but really, I'm just... Maybe, because you have to get beyond ego and it.
Yeah, you certainly have to, right? And that's why you find that the world around us, people are very concerned with, like, the details. That, I don't know.
The tshuva is moving beyond yourself, and
right.
that's really, like, it's movement. Tshuva is movement.
It's movement. Tshuva is movement. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I come to the conclusion that if I can't change the whole world, I could change what's in my world that I don't like. And that's how I view it.
Right. Well,
and each little change might make other changes. In
but that's because
by making changes,
right. but that's what we're thinking. But I'm telling you, there's a whole. I mean, I just came across someone who has a completely agnostic atheist viewpoint.
Yeah.
There's somebody who lives in the Orthodox community who's completely believes none of this matters, and ultimately,
right.
you know, And I said to them, why do you even do anything? Why are you doing
more people
it?
Like yeah. that.
Why are you even doing anything? You know, obviously he's not really an atheist. He's really just spiritually apathetic or hurt or hasn't had dates.
Should invite them to the...
I'm
just kidding. I'm just kidding.
They live in Eretz HaKodesh.
Oh, then... So then already on a high. By the way, you're a Navi.
I'm a Navi.
Yeah, the next piece we're going to do is exactly about me doing what is in my world.
The
thing
I may
it.
Have is ESPN. That's it.
Okay. Says Rav Kook, peace hey. Left side. Bamet. In truth, Eif shar lehitra mem el tshuka haruchanit shal yeshuata klal bli tshuva pnimita mukam mikochet viavon. It is impossible to get to the high level of the tshuka, of the desire of this for the spiritual Yeshua of the Jewish people, meaning Mashiach, Ke'ula, whatever you want to fill in the blank. It is impossible to get to the level of both the attaining of that Ge'ula or Mashiach, but also the desire of that. Bli tshuva pnimit amuka mikol chet v'avon. Without the inner tshuva that is free from all chet v'avon. In other words, says Rav Kook, if you want to really, really be enveloped in the tshuka haruchanit shal yeshuat haklal, if you want to really feel an intense desire for geula and for Mashiach and for binyan beit hamikdash and for, you know, shalom, an entire world of shalom, and all the things that brings with it. If you really want to desire that, so you got to think about you. Because those two things are incredibly connected. And he's going to talk about why, but certainly there's an inyan here that my tshuva, my movement, my jumping into this process is directly affected, and this is not a chidush for any of us who've been learning Rav Kook. It's not disconnected from the kind of tshuva of the klal as a whole. So as much as I can move forward the movements of society and of history and of advocacy and of, those are all important, but to the exclusion of and to the withholding of my own process of movement, so I'm like, it's not going as fast as it could, it's not going as far as it could, it's something is being held back. So he's arguing not that we choose one over the other, not that we do one before the other, which I think some people mistake this. He's not saying, well, don't do anything, you know, shutafi until you do something yechidi now. But just the two things are not mutually exclusive. They have to be done in tandem with each other. And says, and he says, yeah. So okay, fine. Let's look at some of the explanation here. Says the commentary. It's the right hand column. We'll do the first little section and then the second one. Haratzon l'shi. What does it mean? So, what does it mean, this tshuka haruchanit shal yeshuat haklal? Says the commentary, Haratzon l'yeshua shal am Yisrael b'muvan haruchani. It is the desire for the Jewish people to have Yeshua. That's what it is. For the Jewish people to be saved, to be free, to have shalom. That's what we are wanting. Kilomar, in other words, shal Torah v'hakadusha ha-Yisraelit, the Jewish version of holiness and of Torah, yitzu l'or, will become light. It will come to enlightenment, enlightenment. The shahaofi ha-Yisraeli be'amiyuchad yitkala. And the unique perspective or the unique or of the Jewish people will become revealed. We believe that we're an or l'goyim. We believe that we have something unique to offer the world. We believe that Torah and Kedusha is something that we, if we had our stage in Medina Yisrael, if we had our stage, you know, in Geula, then we would be able to affect the entire world. So says Rav Kook, what does it mean a person wanting Yeshua as a whole? It means you want that. It means you look forward to that. I remember an Ansius Weiner asked me one time, so like, why do you want Mashiach? Who cares? I said, imagine if everyone got along. There's a lot of elements to Mashiach. I'm not saying this is the only one, but there's so many elements of what a Geula means for the Jewish people to achieve that for the world. It'd be unbelievable. So a person who wants that, so in tandem with that desire comes the inner work. Says the commentary in the next little section, Raka asher adam tahor v'naki mikor chet, only when a person becomes pure and clean from all chet, A person can only want a life of purity and of holiness if he himself is undergoing that. Meaning, how could you fully want that for the Jewish people and for the world if you yourself aren't engaged in that process? I can only appreciate what that would do for the world if I myself see that as a value. Right? I value Kedusha. I value Kedusha in relationships. I value Kedusha in the workplace. I value Kedusha in society as a whole. If I value Kedusha in my life, then I can see what it means to try to bring Kedusha to a larger scale. If I don't value Tahara, if I don't value that ore of Kedusha, so then I may want it, but I can't fully want it to its full extent because I don't really get what it's all about. I don't really, you know, feel enveloped by that idea. And so therefore, Rav Kook's saying this inner work is different than I think the way others would phrase this inner work. It's that you can desire it, but you're not going to fully desire it as much as you possibly could if you don't also desire it in your own life.
You gotta walk the walk,
right. And the walking the walk isn't just like, well, don't walk over your dog. It's like, you can want
you
should.
You gotta be the change.
You gotta be the change.
But the issue is also, what happens when you see other Jewish people?
The hippies talk.
Hippies speak.
People do the wrong stuff. I mean, there's so many people out there doing the wrong thing.
Right.
And that could really depress you or actually anger you, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Not want to. Well, if he's not doing, there's a story about a Jewish guy that was in prison, and it was a fast day, Yom Kippur, and he decided to eat, and there was an Arab that decided he wanted to make peace, and when he saw the guy eat, he said, well, if they're not following the laws of their God, then we should keep fighting them.
Oh, wow.
It's
not a good story, it's a bad story, but it certainly highlights this, you know, that our actions are interconnected with the whole thing, right?
I mean, you see people in Madoff, I mean, you think about what he did, it's a chilul Hashem to all of us.
Right.
So
right.
We sit there and we go, here we're trying to bit by bit take tiny steps to make ourselves look good to the whole world,
right.
And one guy in one swoop.
We were trying to make ourselves look good, just trying to be good.
Rabbi Billitz told me, which was really cool, I like that. So what makes us different? Doesn't God like non-Jewish people? Doesn't? And he looked at me and he said, God looks at us as the firstborn. And you always have expectation from your firstborn that more than what you would have from your other children. And the idea is we're supposed to go out in this world as Jewish people and set an example for what we are and what we can be and how good the world could be.
We have to not look good, but be good.
Yeah.
We have to practice that particular.
If we're being good, then we're going to.
Right, but all I'm saying is there's some of us that actually go out there and do stuff with. We get blown away. It's like,
wow. It certainly is. And I guess he would say that, like, the more you want something, the better chance you have of doing it. And if you want to want the bigger picture, you got to want those same values in your own life. You keep wanting it in your own life, you're going to keep wanting the bigger picture more and more and more. And then, you know, think about the people. I would assume that two people could be advocating for Israel. Maybe I'm wrong. Israel advocates, tell me. Two people are going to be advocating for Israel, but the person who kind of sees Israel as this kind of bigger, historical, like, God-filled movement that's like this unbelievable thing, I mean, maybe they won't be a better advocate, but certainly they'll be more passionate advocate. Is that possible? I don't know. Certainly he's saying that they're connected. I don't know if it breaks down into Israel examples, but certainly it's something to think about. So Rav Kook continues in the top. Right.
Has a different perspective than someone who is not completely vested.
Right. Right.
And when you're vested and you're in deep, it's just a different volume.
Right, it is. Right.
And I think that holds true for just about everything.
Right.
Yeah, like, a, you know, my nutritionist always tells me to put my oxygen mask on first. Start doing my healthy stuff, and it'll trickle down into the family. Like, don't try to fix your kids or do stuff. Try to just make the change in you, and then you become passionate about it. Of course, you know, then you still have opponents at some point when you're trying to do things. But
right.
Really, whatever you change in yourself, and you invest in you, and are invested,
right.
The vested interest,
right, absolutely, right.
The buy-in. So he's just saying, Rav Kook is saying, we have to have an exceptionally strong personal buy-in.
Yes.
In order to have a collective buy-in.
Absolutely.
In order to bring the closer.
Absolutely.
You can't really do well without
them. Exactly, right. And
what's the opposite of this? So what's, he's telling us this, but this is kind of like intuitive. What, you know,
no, but you can try to be the global, you can be the advocate, but without really having to be buying it. I mean, you could be a Chumash teacher, a rabbi,
He would say you're less effective. He would say you're less impactful. He would say that you can't really want for your students in the fullest sense if you don't want it for yourself completely. So you're almost missing out, or they're missing out on what you could accomplish in the classroom because you yourself don't want it for yourself 100%. You can want it for yourself 80%, yeah. And then you'll want it for them 80%. But you could want it for them 100%. But in order for that to happen, you have to. And Rav Kook, he says, we'll just finish off this last element here. Second line here in the piece. Hey, he says, "Amnan yachid shashab b'muvan zemochim lo l'chol on kula." A person who kind of returns completely, so then the entire world is forgiven. Okay, we're gonna couch what that means. V'chein yicholim rabim lehitalot l'tchuna ha'ideali takenuza b'neshama ha'oma al yedei tshuva yachid. Therefore, the klal. And the rabbim, everybody, is able, yecholim, l'italot l'tchuna ha'idealit, can even reach the ideal kind of level, ha'gnuza b'neshama, that remains until that point, maybe only hidden inside of a nation. But that can happen by way of the tshuva of the yachid, meaning the person in themselves under this process. You can even make the society as a whole, the community as a whole, reach the highest heights of what's possible. Hashav l'matara zo shal ha'hit and a person who returns with that goal will kind of see the radiance of the possibility of the absolute strong desire of a pure nation. Because you will see the beauty, the pureness of a nation who desires to reach a certain height. If you yourself are undergoing that. I want to read a quote from Rav Weinberger here. I thought it was unbelievable. He said, "The idea that when one person does tshuva, the entire world is forgiven," which is a Gemara, "is not magical thinking." People think, oh, I did tshuva, the whole world does tshuva. Okay, maybe, but that's not. It's not magical thinking. Rather, it means that when in his private struggles an individual does tshuva, he stimulates other people's minds and hearts. The universe is all a single integrated reality. When one part of it opens up, on some level, it all opens up. Contrarily, if a Jew closes himself down, other people's spiritual doors are closed as well. The idea that the individual is not separate from the whole is crucial to understanding tshuva. When a Jew intensifies his efforts to do good, to learn Torah, to pray, Jews elsewhere in the world are being helped as well.
Wow.
So it's
a lot of power.
It's deep.
It's deep. It's deep. Okay. I'll do a couple more. Yeah, this is Rav Moshe Weinberger. I've been pitching this book the entire year. Get it. This is just volume one of a four-volume series. Rav Weinberger translating and explaining Orot Teshuva. It took him four of these. This is just chapters one through, I'm not going to Roman numerals. Seven? Okay. Fine. Okay, here we go. Actually, I mostly use this commentary, to be honest with you. Meaning this, because it's like the best for Peshat, this Hebrew commentary on the bottom, which is another book that I have. But I like his a lot. He doesn't have, usually I use this for translation sometimes, and for like maybe good additives sometimes, but he doesn't like explain Pshat fully. He'll like translate it and then like say a lot of things about it. So sometimes I find that like, wait, but I have to be able to explain it first. So that's, I use other things for that. But he has a lot of good tidbits and kind of way he relates it to like our life, which is amazing. And also what's amazing about his book is that he kind of connects it to all of Chassidus and all of Rav Kook's Torah. So it'd be like, oh, tangent. Like, here's what Rav Kook says about like Orot related to this. And it becomes very lengthy. That's why it's four whole volumes, because he'll give an entire essay in another part of Rav Kook just to explain one line of Orot Teshuva. But it certainly is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, last page. We'll do one more piece of Orot Teshuva.
What page are you?
Last 162 on the bottom. It's the last page of the packet, I think.
Got it.
One is Orot Teshuva, then we'll have a Siyum. Anyone bring anything? See him. Now see him on our greatest hits. It's not really see him. And then we'll do something, one of our Cook's letters, and then so. Okay, says Rav Kook, the top right, he says, Kashem shetrichim leha'alot et amidot v'hamachshavot ha'ra'ot l'sharshan. Just as a person needs to raise the midot, the character, v'hamachshavot, and the thoughts, ha'ra'ot l'sharshan, and which are negative, to uproot them, meaning just like a person has to uproot and has to work on and identify all the negative thoughts and midot that he has, Kedei l'taknan u'lematkan. This is an amazing Rav Kook. To fix them and lematkan to sweeten them. Right. Right. We're not just fixing, we're sweetening. We're sweetening. Lematkan. L'taknan u'lematkan. It's a catchphrase. Kein tzrichim l'ha'alot et amidot v'hamachshavot ha'katanot. We also have to raise up, aspire to grow the character and the thoughts that are small. You thought he was going to say bad. I mean, you thought he was going to say good, sorry. He says small, the small thoughts in middle. So we're going to get to that. Even though they're good, so you say, oh, they're good, so why do I have to do anything with them? They're already good. I'm already at good. If I'm at good, so then just work on the bad. They're not at their fullest ma'ala level, heights. Their fullest great heights, umeira, and their full, what? Light. No. Meir from or, like their full enlightenment. The makor sharshan, which that can come from their source of their roots. Will ha'iran ba'or shal gedula, and to enlighten them with the light of greatness. Meaning, says Rav Kook, yes, part of tshuva is to take and assess all of your life and say, what is negative? And look at that and say, how could I be better? And that's part of this. And you have to take those, you have to find where their root is, and you have to work and think and reflect and yes. But then you have things which are good. But those things which are good, what do they need? Oftentimes, if something is good, it's still katan. It's small. Right? I may have a desire, which I do, I have a desire to not spread negative things about others. I do. But sometimes it feels very small. Right? That desire that I have, which is a great desire, is small. But I need to take it from small and make it big. Right? I have to, if I'm doing it at 20% or 80% or 90%, it has to be 200%. Right? And anything that's katan, he doesn't say it needs more or less tshuva than which is ra. It's just part of the same process. And you realize, and this is part of, again, we're talking about positive spin on tshuva here. Look at your life and say, what do I already have in me? I mean, obviously everything good is in you, but what do I have that's already in my consciousness? What am I already kind of working on? What am I already thinking about to an extent? And take those and just blow them up and expand them and have them just take over your life. Maybe that's even, I would say, maybe a more effective way of improving yourself, just taking the good and exploding it in your life than just taking the bad and trying to, like, you know, subdue it so that, right?
In our song, eliminate the positive, accentuate, eliminate the negative, accentuate the positive. That's what it's all about. Yeah, that's
it. The electric company.
Isn't that put your right hand in?
But that's the same thing.
Who's it by?
Sesame Street. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah.
So that's exactly what he's saying. An essential component of tshuva is to do this. And let's look. This really has to do with the godliness inside of all of us. Says the commentary on the bottom on the right. He says in the non-bold part. B'chol koach ha'chayim, in every element of the strength of life, yeshno nitzot eloki. There are sparks of godliness. Hanotein lochayim, that give us life, right? We don't have our godliness, our neshama, our eloki, without this spark of godliness inside of us. Ilakach ein tofa'a alay admut. There is no phenomenon on this earth. Therefore, there's nothing on this earth. Shelo kiyamba, that doesn't have this nitzot elokit, this spark of godliness. Benigle or benister. Sometimes it's more hidden. Sometimes it's kilu revealed. Sometimes it's out in the open. Sometimes it's hidden. Tor v'yofi in all of its, I guess, yofi in its beauty. Meaning, everything has nefesh eloki. Not nefesh. Sorry. Everything has nitzot eloki. Everything has a spark of godliness in it. There isn't a thing in the entire world that doesn't have a spark of godliness in it, but it's not all so obvious. So says Rav Kook, what are we trying to do now? But not, I mean, says Rav Kook, but the commentary is saying in Rav Kook, Gam bitchunot veha ideologiot, the hashliliot, the negative ideologies. I mean, even in perspectives, philosophies, ideologies, movements that are negative, shliliot are negative. Yeshno shoresh pnimi chiyuvi, they have a root inside, which is positive. There's a nitzotz eloki in everything, and that means that that which would appear to be incredibly negative can only have a spark of eloki in it. No exceptions. No exceptions.
This is like one of his most famous.
This is one of his most famous ideas, right? I just want to point out the word chiyuvi in modern Hebrew means positive. In Torah, it means obligated. I texted my brother right away. I said, that's unbelievable, right? Hebrew language. To be obligated is a positive thing, right? It has to be. We don't experience it as positive sometimes, but it is positive. I couldn't believe I typed in chiyuvi. I was like, what does it mean? It doesn't make sense. Obligated. I typed in Google Translate. It said positive. I was like, what? It's positive? So.
Chiyuvi in modern Hebrew is positive.
Apparently. As it says in Google Translate, chiyuvi, positive. I don't know. Benjio's not here. Benjio.
Chovot means debt, so it's a negative.
Oh. Being in debt is positive? Okay, I don't know where we're going to go with this. My Dvar Torah was just that being obligated is positive.
I'm not...
Okay. Hadam Sarich, therefore, what does a person have to do then? If everything has a need, so it's okay. What are we to do? Hadam Sarich, fourth to last line of the paragraph of the commentary, Avoda Musarit V'Sichlit, in our intellectual and ethical Avoda, task, work that's cut out for us, Me'umetzet, strenuous, in our strenuous ethical and intellectual work, what are we to do? Limtso et hashoresh sheminia et hanitiyot ra'ot. We have to find that which prevents, that which is holding back, that which is covering up the nitzot eloki in everything that's in all of creation. Because if it's hidden, it's always there. So if you can't see it, it means it's there, but you can't see it. So then what do you do in order to bring it out? Vilachshofoto, and to reveal it. This is absolutely my mantra with the students. I'm not always successful at it, but there are a lot of negative things about a lot of kids, and it's hard to see the LOK in them, so you got to figure out what it is. It takes work, takes conversations, takes a lot of time, but certainly bringing it out is part of what education is about. Says Rav Kook, that's what our entire lives are about. You meet someone, they have this negative aura to them, figure out where the Nefesh LOK is. It's harder with movement sometimes, but certainly looking in history and seeing that, Rav Kook would say that's the way a Jew should look at history, that's the way a Jew should look at people, communities, societies, different sects of Judaism, different factions of orthodoxy, right? Yeah, there could be negativity, but there is a nitzotz eloki, and where is that, and what is it, and how do we bring it out? Now, on the spot, if you ask me every faction of orthodoxy, for a lot of them, I could probably give you what I think the nitzotz eloki is. Some of them would be harder than others, but I could try. I grew up in Renewal. Renewal is not from at all. It's like a crazy hippie Karl Bach without the halacha version of Judaism. But they are connected. Like their lave is 100% into God, into spirituality, into tefillah. Like they feel it way more than a lot of Reformed conservative. There's nothing, you know, showy about a Renewal congregation. So is there negativity? Yeah, they're not keeping halacha, but is there a need so okay? I can see it. I grew up in it. I see it. It's very easy for me. Some of them are harder for me to see, but it's there. And that's certainly our avoda. And says the commentary, second to last line, when a person is able to understand the arka, the value, right? The value, the true value of all of these negative midot, a person is able to really see their true value. When you see the need to the low key, it's, you know, the value went from $5 because it was negative, and now it's a $30 value because you see the need to the low key in it. When a person reveals that character, and the proper mishkal, I think, is weight. The proper weight, shalai, it's proper weight, I don't know.
Value.
Archa was value. Yeah, archa value. Okay. Who hofech et tiv'a, sh'otat chona, a person flips its nature, of that thing and sweetens it. In other words, the thing now is not shlilit. You thought it was shlilit, but now you found the nitzot zeloki. Boom, you flip the whole thing around. Now it's sweet. Hatchona hara overet tar nas for... Oh, transformatia. Undergoes a transformation. Tova. No, the mida tova. Due to a mida tova. The tet. Right, I guess he couldn't figure out a play on words and transformation. Well, I'm sure we could figure it out. There's a transformation that takes place. He's going to give one example, but go home, think of your own examples. I mean, there's an example for every person and every movement and every midah and everything. There's every thought. There's a transformation. There's a negativity, but there's a nitzos elokei that can be flipped around. He gives two examples. Hakas, if you have anger. Maybe hofech le'achpatiyut tova, to care. I get angry about everything means what? I get like bogged down, oh, this person. But you care. You're angry, you care. So maybe turn anger into intense caring. And sometimes the people I see that get the most frustrated, people that care the most. So it's the same, I guess, mida maybe, but it's just to take in flip side of it, right? Maybe hagaiva, or I don't know, Rav Kook, gaava, I don't know how you pronounce it. Litchusha hahatava. Maybe gaiva can be turned into the feeling of the hatava ha'elokit klapai, meaning a person could turn gaiva into an appreciation of what God is klapai him, meaning I'm the man, I have all these talents, I'm really smart. That can be flipped to, well, God's unbelievable, God may be smart, all these talents, right? The greatest appreciation for the goodness of God could be extracted from gaiva. So I'm not recommending we go around to people and say, you have gaiva, let's try to... I don't know how that would work, but certainly it's a way to view people, and it's a way to view ourselves, and it's a way to view anything.
It's a way to stay very positive and stay, right, even surrounded by negativity.
You know, when right, you say something to a me, you know, like you say, you know, your child is really smart, or even, you know, you say to the person themselves, you know, you really... pop that Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. People do, you know, sometimes you can vomit with Baruch Hashem, but, you know.
I'll tell you a story, you know, yeah, absolutely, of course.
But I get what somebody who's really invested in this kind of revelation is doing. They're saying, you know, really, it's not me. It's really Baruch Hashem. It's really not my ego. It's like,
right,
it's a way to keep, you know, the top Eloi in the yeshiva really says Baruch Hashem.
Right, right. So, yes, certainly it's misused, but certainly it doesn't have to be misused,
yeah. I mean,
right.
You know, we all,
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, really what we're supposed to do with that is to be able to find that nitzot Elokei and everything. So whether you don't have to say Baruch Hashem every time, you say thank God, you say Hashem's unbelievable, you say other formulations of it to kind of keep it real. Jesse and I sometimes we just say thank God because, like, Baruch Hashem kind of rolls off the tongue too easily, so we'll try to say other things that'll kind of... But certainly that's what that's going for.
I just say praise the Lord. PTL, I work for the
PTL.
Praise
the
PTL.
Hallelujah.
PTL, right? Club, I watched it on TV. Seriously.
Thank God, person.
Thank God.
Thank God.
But that is the point of, like, these are all ways to become psychosocially healthy also. Mm-hmm. All of this just repeatedly brings in what is psychosocial health, as opposed to last week we talked about soul illness, which is probably an underlying cause of a lot of mental illness.
Yes, right.
What do you do when you see all the bad stuff that's going on in the world? I mean, that
he's saying,
No, you can say that there's an unrevealed, the back of the tapestry is not revealed.
Yeah, right.
We just don't
I'm
know.
I'm actually talking to my kids to see if maybe they could help me figure something out and how they view it and how they see it.
Right.
So my son he does, what's it called, debate. And so they go to different schools and debate other schools. So he actually has been to that school and debated there. So, but again, there's an understanding I'm looking for that I can't seem to...
Certainly Rav Kook.
You're not going to really get...
We're all
this is a hard part. It's Shiva week. It's like in a week of Shiva, you don't ask people to understand. You have to go through 7 days and then 30 days and then a year and then time. We're all like...
In fact, before there's a burial, a person is in own and can't even keep mitzvot.
We're in an
he's so angry. He can't... He's not... Yes, right. Keeping mitzvot. He's angry at God. So it's almost like if there's more people and it's a bigger tragedy, yeah, we're allowed a period of aninut. Right?
My husband's family's rabbi, who incidentally I sort of planted in the browsers, Rabbi Biston, he's there in the middle of this doing all this now.
Yeah, Shui.
Shui is there with all... This has been above his pay grade. He's going to bed... I mean, I've talked to him about it. He said, I'm going to bed crying every night. You know... dealing with one parishioner, one person, but this is like, you know, he's in the national center of it, and
yeah.
But meanwhile, they just had meetings with Governor Scott. Things are going to come out of stuff. And the worst part of it is the Jews died. Unfortunately, somebody from the higher socioeconomic strata with more resources and more abilities, more shit's going to get done now. People are going to move mountains differently, hopefully. You know, in one way or another, whether it's a metal detector or a gun law change or whatever. But unfortunately, these are carbonas right now that we don't understand.
Right.
We just don't.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Shui said, I don't have answers for people. I spoke to him yesterday. I just don't have answers most days for people. I just cry with them.
Right.
What are you going to do? You can't answer.
No.
And you know what? Talking about one action. This is the Ligai, the Baruch Hashem. This is kind of interesting. I called him 10 years ago and said I called him 10 years ago and I said, my nephew just finished Gainesville. And he's come home, he lives in Pompano, and he doesn't have anybody, and he was going to Rabbi Beryl's shul. Can you do something? So he goes, yeah, I'll bring him some, whether it was honey or challah or matzah or whatever the time of the year was. Pumped. He made me open the door. My nephew knew Chabad College. 10 years later, his shul is the browser educational. My brother-in-law, who is not from at all, doesn't want to have anything to do with his mother's yeshiva, you know, day school, nothing. This shui became part of his life. And now, punk, 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 punk. And then I look at him in the middle of this morass that he's dealing with, and I'm like, and I'm really telling you, I just had this one moment where I made one little dumb phone call because I couldn't take care of my nephew. He was coming to my house for Shabbos. That wasn't going to happen. I mean, I would have loved to have been the perfect room aunt, but that was never... I just said, can you do this for me, please? And then he went and did it. And then Michael gave him a lot of money, and he has a platform, and it's happening, and Jews are all over Parkland are saying, thank you, Shui, thank you for being who you are. So I said to my brother-in-law, you realize you're a partner with this. You gave this man the ability to...
Again, that's...
One action. And my brother-in-law is so cynical, and he was like, I think you're right.
I don't see you could Purim.
I choked.
Next Tuesday.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, next Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's what I said about one action.
But you get have to see the whole.
Right. It's just mind-blowing to me.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody else might have been a sugar daddy, but it worked out. But really, he's just...
My son-in-law's family goes to that.
Your son-in-law.
Ellie has... No, he has...